Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And we have gone to the dogs today on purpose. And now we are bringing you a new twist on a Radio Boston regular. It is not Ask the Doctors, but it is Ask the Vets.
Lie down, Chauncey. Lie down! Lie down, Chauncey!
He's deaf.
I'm not deaf. I just can't stand listening to her.
Since we can't all hear what our dogs have to say, like Dr. Doolittle there can, and by the way, thank God for that, we are turning to veterinarians to answer our pooch-related puzzles instead. What food is best for a senior pooch? Is the amount of barking your dog does normal? We have two vets here to answer, so give us a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. And those of you who already have, I love it that you are including your dog pics. Keep those coming. So joining us now, Dr. Indu Mani, an associate vet at VCA Brookline Animal Hospital and chief scientific officer at Brief Media, which is a publication for fellow veterinarians. She's also a current bioethics fellow at the Harvard Medical School. Dr. Mani, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tiziana. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you. We also have Dr. Monica Mansfield, who is a veterinarian at Medway Animal Hospital and president-elect of the Massachusetts Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Mansfield, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Tiziana, for having me on your show. What a wonderful program you have. And also, those needs dogs are tremendous dogs. I agree.
Really fun to learn about them, isn't it? And I'm happy to have both of you. And listen, normally I would start with some questions of my own, but the phones have already exploded, as has the Twitter sphere. So if the two of you are ready, I think we're going to just dive right in. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Okay.
We're ready.
Great. And I am going to start with a tweet from Julie Hall, mostly because her dog picture of what has got to be a Maltese mix is just killing me. And it says, help at Radio Boston, need advice for codependency with my dog post-COVID. It's a real problem for both of us. I cannot leave her. Dr. Mani, we hear this a lot, especially as people are starting to leave the home more. Separation anxiety, the dog not wanting the person to leave, the person being anxious about leaving the dog. Advice.
It really is it was a burgeoning problem to some extent, even before COVID, and because of the intensity with which dogs and their owners have spent time, it's become something we've heard almost as a refrain every day that we go to work. So it's, first of all, I would say, you know, it's a great question and thank you for asking it. And you're probably asking something that many, many other people want to know too. So I think the best way to first start to deal with some of the separation anxiety and their associated behaviors is to talk to your veterinarian, to talk about ruling out medical issues first, to be on the safe side, and then also to start talking about behavior modification. Your veterinarian will help you learn how to exit the house more readily, how to keep your dog safe when you do have to exit the house, how to give certain potential calming supplements that have evidence behind them. And if you need to, there's absolutely no shame in psychotropic medications to help ease those separations.
All right. Thank you. Now I'll go from Twitter to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK on this Ask the Veterinarians Your Dog Questions. We've got Jan in Newton. Jan, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. I just had a question about whether or not there's any concern if a dog is a runt of the litter, if there are any health concerns that could be happening in the future.
Dr. Mansfield.
Yes, Jan, I think it's a case-by-case basis. And with any dog that you do adopt, I think it would be a very good idea to have your veterinarian take a look. What we're looking for when we examine an animal is to make sure
in a puppy that there are any congenital disorders, congenital malformations, heart murmurs, things along that lines that we can figure out whether or not that is a problem. But very many times, being the runt of the litter, if it's just a smaller dog or the last one that came out from that poor mother that pushed out 8 puppies, it doesn't mean there's necessarily anything wrong with that dog. It might be the most endearing, sweet, lovely dog. So I don't see being the runt of the litter being a bad thing. I think it just is case by case, and probably want to have a veterinarian check it out to make sure we can't find anything wrong with it as well.
All right, let's take another call here, 800-423-8255. We've got Jamie on the line in Amherst, New Hampshire. Jamie, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a 100-pound Bernese Mountain Dog. He's fixed. He's almost 4 years old, and he is very attached to me, to the point that if I'm at home, he won't go outside with anyone else. And he's becoming rather aggressive towards my 17-year-old son if he gets near me. He's on a dose of Clomicom, a half a pill, in the evening and in the morning. But he's actually getting a little bit more aggressive, and I'm wondering if there's training I can do to help that.
Dr. Mani.
Jamie, thank you so much for a really great question. And Bernese Mountain Dogs are so beautiful. So I can imagine what he looks like. This can be a common situation. And I think the most important thing is to center on a diagnosis first. Dogs have the same range of psychopathologies, I believe, that human beings do. Human beings are really troubled with anxiety right now. And many of our dogs are showing common signs of anxiety. I would talk to your veterinarian. We have the American College of Veterinary Behavior. They're board certified behaviorists. They have amazing positive reinforcement trainers. It's what we usually endorse in the profession. And I would talk to your veterinarian. I don't know in New Hampshire where you are, if there are some boarded local behaviorists. Luckily, there are boarded behaviorists who will communicate and counsel your veterinarian to help you do a multimodal program to help attenuate some of those aggressive behaviors that you're seeing.
So I'm going to pick up a call on behalf of Karen and Newton. Her sound is bad, but she says that she has a service dog that has acid reflux and no one can solve it. Do you have any ideas? Dr. Mansfield, I'll bring that one to you.
Sure. And we want to be careful about not prescribing medication specifically over the phone. And it is, you know, going back to that case by case basis. But in a lot of cases of acid reflux, we do have success with one form or another of medication that may quiet down that acid. In some cases, though, their dogs do benefit from seeing an internal medicine specialist. I did have one case that was way over the top with her acid reflux, a young golden retriever, and had a scope put down there. And they were, the internists were able to see the tissue that was so inflamed and that's what the trouble was. And so that dog needed a large array of maybe 3 or 4 different meds, but then it was so much better. No looking back after that. But I'd say, you know, a vast majority on a trial of one or the other medications that their veterinarian would probably be able to prescribe. And if one's not working, please let your veterinarian know, Karen, that because we want to make it better and make your dog feel better as well.
And Dr. Mansfield, just briefly, if someone did want to find a specialist, like an internal internal medicine, right? Specialist, where does one find a specialist like that in the veterinary world?
Wonderful question. And that is probably all by referral. So you would start with your general practitioner, veterinarian, your regular practitioner. And then there are just wonderful, we're so blessed in this area to have so many excellent specialists, board certified internal medicine specialists tend to be at the larger facilities. So like Tufts and Grafton, Tufts in Walpole, Angel Memorial in Boston. There are several other large facilities that are just tremendous with their care there. So your veterinarian would start to facilitate that.
And just briefly, it sounds expensive. Any way to help offset costs of something like that for a dog owner?
Yes. A couple thoughts. One thing that would be, a really wonderful, tremendous kind of forethought if one is in that situation is when your dog is young, if you can start off with pet insurance for the unforeseeable things, it can really help a lot. But they don't cover any pre-existing conditions. So you can't already have the condition and then sign up for the pet insurance. But as a foresight thing, that's a wonderful thing, and maybe keeping a savings for future unforeseen things. But in the moment, when we do have a situation that's going to need workups that might be, in the thousands of, a couple thousand dollars to do, a lot of the large facilities, and I know our hospital has some programs. Ours is called Care Credit, which a lot of the human practices use and our practice use, that help people to space out their payments. And even talking to the individual facility, case by case, hospital by hospital, might have a situation where they can work out a payment plan as well.
Thank you for that, Dr. Mansfield. And I'll underscore something you said earlier. As with Ask the Doctors, these are general answers to your questions, but they are not a substitute for actual medical advice from the veterinarian that treats your dog. All right, we have so many calls and more tweets come in. Let's try to get through as many as we can. I'm going to go back to a tweet here. This is from Ezra Dunkel-Polier, who says, longtime dog owner, but first time with a puppy. What are the best options for home training? There seem to be several arguments for and against using choke collars, for example. So, Dr. Mani, I'll come back to you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ezra, a great question. Training is always such a diverse range of methodologies that are out there and to seek for dog owners. In the veterinary profession in general, especially as recommended by our American College of Veterinary Behaviorists, we tend to avoid aversive training methods like choke collars or prong collars. I know that it's really hard when you have a crazy, insane puppy who is dragging you down the street. I had one of those that I rescued, and he would drag me down the street whenever I tried to walk him. But I would get in contact with a positive reinforcement trainer. It's not really a behavior issue when they're pulling and running around like crazy. They're just exuberant, wonderful, happy creatures when they're babies, and you just have to teach them how to behave appropriately with positive reinforcement, which probably works better for all of us.
This is a special dog-focused hour of Radio Boston, and we are doing Ask the Vets with Dr. Indu Mani from VCA Brookline Animal Hospital and Dr. Monica Mansfield from Medway Animal Hospital. The phone number to ask your veterinary question about the dog you love, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. We have Jana on the line in Berlin. Jana, go ahead.
Hi, we have a five-year-old Cavalier King Charles, and she licks so much. She licks, all the time. Sometimes she, licks air. Sometimes she licks blankets. And we're wondering if that's something we could help her with, or if it's normal, or if we should do something.
So, Dr. Mansfield, I'm curious on this. Our last dog was a Licky Lou as well. I'm curious about the answer here.
Well, Jana, we love cavies, as we call them. We affectionately call them cavies, but the Cavalier King Charles Spaniels are just known for just being total sweethearts, just lovely dogs. And so, but sometimes they're mysterious in why they're doing the things that they're doing, because it might just be out of love. But
enigmatic.
And sometimes I think it's most likely, from what you're describing, potentially a behavioral thing. There might have been one little reward that she got when maybe there was something that tasted good on a blanket at one point. So she keeps trying to get that. On the other hand, going back to that reflux question that Karen from Newton asked, that, sometimes that's a sign of reflux. If, you know, a dog is licking, they may be having some acid reflux come back. I think as Dr. Mani and I have both been saying, that this might be one to run past your veterinarian just to go over, you know, have a good exam. And we might not be able to tell you on the exam, but they might rule out something like reflux with an antacid, for instance, just to see, but it could be a behavioral thing. I once had a cat, he was a blind cat that we had these plastic bags on the floor where we had brought some milk in, and one drop of milk got on the plastic bag. And for the rest of his life, every time he saw a plastic bag, every time he experienced one, he had to keep licking because he was hoping a drop of milk would be there again. Sometimes they generalize over a behavioral thing.
Hope springs eternal. All right, I'm going to go back to Twitter for this one because we love the dog and the picture and the question. So this is from Sloanish. At Radio Boston, if Clem the Monster was a street dog living outside a supermarket for first 2.5 years of life, is it at all possible to make her less of a trash-finding and eating expert? Dr. Mani.
I seem to be getting a lot of behavioral questions.
I guess I'm giving them all to you, aren't I? Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I hope I can do them justice. It just goes right back. Dogs, the beauty of dogs is that they're, and Sloanish, it is another fabulous question. Dogs are just so anxious to please. Dogs are so intelligent. Dogs are so eminently trainable. And so I would enthusiastically say to you, yes, it is possible to train your dog, not to eat everything that it sees. That said, never rely on a dog's sense of good sense. I know that Dr. Mansfield will attest to the fact that we have removed pretty much anything that you could imagine from the stomach of a dog and from the intestines of dogs who knows why they eat what they eat. So it's just important to do your best, restrict access to things that the dog may go after, put food up high, don't leave your laundry out. If you know that your dog is going to go for things, keep them separated from those things when you're not able to watch, and then just keep the training going as best as you can.
All right, Dr. Mansfield, I'll go to David in Lexington and we'll give you, this might be our last one, we're running low on time, but I'll give you a behavioral question. David, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My border collie, who's 9.5 and who I got at 6.5 after she'd worked on a farm, is very afraid of nervous in the car. I've actually had to trank her on road trips recently, and I would love to make her easier in the car. I should say that for her first 6 months, she really had a traumatic situation. She was in a basement with very little human care, so she missed that. But she's a lovely dog. She's well-trained generally. By the person who owns a farm where she worked.
So, David, I'm going to take it back from you there. Thanks for telling us more about her, but I do want to make sure we have time to get you your answer. So, Dr. Mansfield.
David, I'm so glad you have your beautiful dog. Border collies are very intelligent dogs. They're very busy dogs. They want a job to do. And her being afraid of the car might be a couple things. One might be nausea. So, there may be worth you discussing with your vet. Should we consider trying some anti-nausea medication before a car ride? We do have a prescription one, and sometimes there are over-the-counter ones that your veterinarian might try. But they're definitely, as Dr. Mani said in a prior question, sometimes we give some mildly sedating medication to just have the overthinking in the dog's mind stop overthinking for just the car ride. They're just going in the car, but for them, the vibrations and sensations, we can't really reason with them and tell them in English, you know, what's going on. So there might be a calling for that to just make it more pleasant. And then, David, also try to go face places that are super fun with your border collie that she can't wait to get to, find a walk around a lake or something that's going to be super exciting, or even a drive to Dunkin' Donuts for the donut holes there that might make short little car rides fun or longer ones fun too.
So condition her really to like the car rides by what happens on the other end.
Yes. And then because border collies always want a job to do, make sure that she's getting enough exercise too, that so that, you know, that she's used to outings. So yes, Tiziana, like you just said.
All right. So listen, the lines are still full, but we are out of time for calls. So I want to thank all the listeners who called. We weren't able to get to your calls. The response tells us maybe this is something we will do again sometime. In the meantime, I want to thank our veterinarians, Dr. Indu Mani, who is an associate veterinarian at VCA Brookline Animal Hospital, and Dr. Monica Mansfield, who is a veterinarian at Medway Animal Hospital. Thanks to both of you for helping out so many people who love their dogs today.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Thank you, Tiziana.
And thank you, Dr. Mani.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mansfield.